Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Isn't it true when you get into a scuffle, it's like, who's right? You said this. Well, I didn't say that. I said, no, you said this. And so that's why I did that. And we're trying to figure out who's right. And we think that that's going to solve it. You can spend all your life to see who's right and who's wrong till you're blue in the face and it doesn't help anything. It just makes people madder. It makes you opponents rather than friends. But if that marriage is committed or consecrated to God, it's no longer, honey, who's right? It's what's right. You know what's right? What's right is let's diminish the importance of this and increase the importance of our relationship.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. There's an old hymn that used to say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, maybe the song should have said, count your blessings, name them ton by ton. God has blessed us beyond measure. We just need to be able to recognize it. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, The Way God Blesses.
And so the first is, consecrate your thoughts to the Lord, and then you'll begin to understand what it means to have a whole life, or a complete holy life, so that you're not double, but singular. Now the second area that seems like a stubborn stain for all of us is not just my thoughts. I can think whatever I want to think, and it won't bother anybody. It's my own thoughts. Don't be careful, because that's a deceptive ruse. But the second thing is not only my thoughts, but the second, would you write in your notes, my money. I love my money, my money. It's my money. I can spend it the way I want to. It's my money. The Bible says the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. That's right. You see, money needs to be something that's a utilitarian kind of thing, where you use. But when you start to fall in love with it, it gives you this deceptive, false sense of greater amount of control. And when it does that, it turns into a god, or the Bible calls the god of mammon. And I start to live my life to accumulate more because I want more control. So I don't have to listen to anybody. I can control people because I have more. When that happens, it has got you deceived. It's very deceptive. It's called the deceptiveness of riches. Matthew 13 talks about that. Matthew 13 talks about the sower and the seed, remember? And some seed was sown among the thorns. Now watch this. The seed, or the word of God, that's sown among the thorns, states of different hearts, or the condition of hearts, are those that have received the word, but the worries of the world, and listen, the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word and makes it what? Unfruitful. God cannot give fruit because that chokes out fruitfulness. But when I say mine, be careful, because it'll get you to be arrogant on the inside. And God says, no, when there's a tug of war and you're no longer steward, but you're getting more so that you'll have more control, when that happens, it becomes a god. It turns into a god. And the Bible says God can't bless when that happens, for blessings will follow consecration. And let's read what it says in Deuteronomy 8. Ready? Go. You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth. Who? He. Yeah. You see, the brains that you have to even make wealth, the creativity to write a song or a book, all came from the Lord. Your skill, your talent are something, those are gifts that God has given to you, entrusted to you. And so the Lord says, be careful, because we can think it's mine and mine. But you say, well, Wayne, where's the antidote so that I don't get caught in this deceptive kind of thing of money? Because we can become people that say, mine, and we lose our identity. We lose who we are. It's sort of like we become Velcro and we're mine. Then we just become this different person. And God is saying, how do you turn that into Teflon rather than Velcro? Well, the Bible calls it the word tithe. Just write that down somewhere. T-I-T-H-E, tithe, which simply means the first fruits of, or the first tenth. You see, what they used to do in the old times when it was in an agricultural kind of world, they would barter. They didn't have currency, so they bartered. If they were a master craftsman and someone was a farmer, the master craftsman said, I will help build your house if you will provide for my family food. And let's trade. Oh, what is your trade, craftsmanship? What's your trade? Oh, it's agriculture. Let's use that to barter. And it's called trade or trading. And so the person's trade is because it was all a part of the bartering system. Well, later on, we turned into, oh, by the way, when a person would have an orchard and it would give the fruits, the first fruit or the first harvest, they would bring it to the temple and give it to God as a tithe or the first tenth or the first fruits. They would give it to the temple. Then the priest would use it to feed the poor and use it for ministry in the name of God. So when everybody did that, and then they would take it and use it for ministry, then people would understand the love of God that were poor or those that couldn't fend for themselves, and the whole community was a part of ministry. So that first fruit went to God's use to help people. We move from the agricultural age then into the industrial age, where you would work for somebody and you didn't have anything to take with you because you're working for another. It wasn't your orchard, it wasn't your farm, it was someone else's. So you couldn't just take their fruit. It's called stealing, you know, from the company. So what they would do is they would give you a coupon, a green coupon that would have 1, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 on it. So that'd be the amount of coupons you'd get. And with that coupon, you'd go and trade. It was a bartering system. We call that currency. So when we would now get 100 coupons, we would take 10 and give them to the Lord for use of spreading the gospel or the good news with those that may not know. And so we call that first fruits or a tithe. And we all become a part of that. And so one of the ways or the antidotes keeping that money to become a god is something called a tithe. What's the purpose of it? Let's read. Ready? Deuteronomy 14, go. The purpose of the tithe is to teach you always to put God first in your life. Yeah, that's it. It's to keep you free from being deceived by this, where it pulls you into it and it becomes a god. Now listen, we have been given money to be used as a utilitarian kind of thing. But when we start, our whole life's goal is to accumulate more, that's when it begins to control our life and it raises up as a god, the god called Mammon. Now listen carefully. The tithe is just simply this. Whatever you want God to bless, we're talking about the way that God blesses, whatever you want God to bless, put Him first in. Real simple. For example, if you want God to bless your marriage, put Him first in your marriage. It's a great time to say amen. Okay, some of you are concerned. I'm concerned about your marriages here. If you want God to bless your marriage, put Him first in your marriage. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to teach you to be Pentecostals yet, I'll tell you. That's right. You know, my marriage with Anna, who is my wife, it is no longer about us anymore. We consecrated our marriage to the King, to the Lord. It's not about us. Because you see, if our marriage goes bad, it doesn't just affect us. It affects our children, the generations thereafter, our nieces, our nephews, the church, many churches. It's not about us anymore. We consecrated that to the kingdom. And so I get to be married to my wife and she gets to be married to me because we love Jesus and we want what's best. And so we have consecrated our marriage to Him. So when we get into a scuffle, that's not that often, but when we do, because my wife has problems still, and I try to help her through therapy and bolster her up. So during that time, it's called a scuffle. And so as I'm bolstering her up in these areas, you know, it's not any longer who's right. Because often, isn't it true when you get into a scuffle, it's like, who's right? Well, you said this. Well, I didn't say that. I said, no, you said this. And so that's why I did that. And we're trying to figure out who's right. And we think that that's going to solve it. Doesn't solve anything. It doesn't. You can spend all your life trying to figure out and Sherlock one another to death to see who's right and who's wrong. Till you're blue in the face and it doesn't help anything. It just makes people madder. It makes you opponents rather than friends. But if that marriage is committed or consecrated to God, it's no longer, honey, who's right? It's what's right. Hon, what's right in this? I know things aren't the best, but what's right? What's right is we need to be friends. And our relationship is more important than how much money is in the bank that we thought was there and is not. What's right is we need to be friends much more than the color of the carpet that you just bought at Chartreuse and Brown. Yeah, it's got to be, we've got to stay friends. You know what's right? What's right is let's diminish the importance of this and increase the importance of our relationship, because this is about the kingdom, and our marriage isn't about us anymore. It's about our love for Christ, and we've consecrated that. And so we make sure that that stays intact, and then we can deal with all of these other things. But if this becomes more important than what's right, who's right becomes more important, we're in trouble. Then it's whoever wins the arm wrestling match. And that won't work. So if you want God to bless your marriage, put Him first in your marriage. Amen. Amen. Okay, we got a Pentecostal group right here and pretty conservative. If you want God to bless your marriage, then put Him first. Amen. Okay, brother. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. If you want God to bless your dating life, put Him first in your dating. Yeah. Ah, all right. If you want God to bless your business, put Him first in your business. Yeah. If you want God to bless your finances, put Him first in your finances. Yeah. And if you want God to bless your fruitfulness, give Him your first fruits. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's true. It's real simple. And by the way, you can't outgive God. Isn't that right? You can't outgive God. I mean, you can try, but God is so good. Just about 6 months ago, one of our interns that's now planting a church in Sacramento, he got some money, and our interns are poor here, you know, they're just training. And so he gave me $250, and I looked at that and said, $250 for what? And he said, I just felt the Lord say, give it to you. But for what? He said, I don't know. He said, take your wife out to dinner. I said, my wife doesn't eat that much, you know, but I'll take her out. And then as I took it, the Lord just whispered to my heart and said, it's not for you. It's for you to steward for Him. So I thought, oh, okay. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invest it and give it back to Him. So in God's eyes, one of the best ways to invest is to give in the name of the Lord. So I found someone in the church that was having some trouble, and I gave them $250 in the name of the Lord. This is a true story. Within a week and a half, I got unexpected in the mail a check for $500. And the Lord said, use that. And so I took the $500 and I gave it away to someone else that needed some help. And then about three weeks later, I spoke at a little church that I'd spoken at for five times before, and I never charge them anything. It's just, I just want to help. Well, they took an offering, gave me a check for $1,000. And I said, I don't need this thing. And they said, no, you've helped us, and we just want to give that to you. So I went and I gave that away. And after about 4 months, when he was about ready to plant the church, I gave him a check for $2,500. And he said, what's this for? I said, remember the $250 you gave me? Uh-huh. I said, I invested that, and here's the results. He said, $2,500. He said, teach me how to do that. But you just can't outgive the Lord. And one of the ways to keep yourself free is to be a person of the tithe, because I want God to bless. And remember, blessings follow what? Consecration. And if you'll be someone faithful to fear the Lord and obey His commandments, do exactly what He says, it's the beginning of blessings. That's just the way God blesses. So the first is, consecrate your thoughts and don't live a dual life, because the Lord says He won't bless when you are a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. And the second is, the Lord says, be willing to consecrate the tithe. And the Lord says, and watch if I won't open up the windows of heaven and begin to bless you. But you can't be in a tug of war with God. And the third is another my. And the third is, would you write my time? This is my time. Don't be calling me on this. This is my time. I do what I want on my time. Is it? Let's read what Psalm 31 says. Ready? Go. My times are in thy hand. And the next one. So teach us to number our days, that we might present to thee a heart of wisdom. What he's saying is, live your days well so that you'll live with a wise heart. Sometime today, or in your mind, just write this, finish this phrase or fill in this blank. I don't have time for what? And we always say that. Well, I'd like to spend time with my kids, but I don't have time for them. I don't have time for devotions. Well, I'd like to, but I don't have time for that. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for ministry. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Well, here is about to be the most convicting sentence in this whole message, because it convicted me terribly. And here it is. God spoke to me when I was saying that. I don't have time for, and fill in the blank. The Lord spoke to me and said, Wayne, you will always but only have time for the things that you want to do. The things you want to do, you will have time for. The reason you don't have time for these things is because you don't want to do them. And you're using time as the excuse, but it's not time, it's desire. It's not an issue of time clock, it's the issue of desire. Because you see, I was saying, I don't have time to spend time with my kids. And the Lord said, you do, because you will have time for the things you want to do. And it's true, I was thinking, yeah, when someone will say, hey, Wayne, let's play golf, I'll pay. Oh, I got time for that. Because you want to do it. If I paddle canoes, so if someone says, hey, let's go on a canoe ride here, let's take this canoe trip. Oh, yeah, I've got time for that. But if someone says, hey, you need to be spending time with your son. Oh, I don't have time for that, man. I just work so hard. You know what God spoke to me? He said, Wayne, you know why you don't have time for that? Because you don't want to. And it just convicted me terrible. He said, you know why you say you don't have time for devotions? Because you don't want to spend time with me. You want my blessings, but you don't want my presence. Oh, it just convicted the socks off me. Because he said, you will always have time for the things you want to do. I want to go to a movie. Okay, there's 2-3 hours gone. I want to watch TV. That's blocks of time gone during the day, because we'll always have time for the things we want to do. So here I said, Lord, you got me. Lord, would you change me? And this is what he said. Write down the things that I would like you to do. Just write them down, you know, devotions. And I don't have time for that, Lord. No. Just write them down. Don't worry about whether you have time for them or not. Just write them down. Write them down. Okay, I think God would have me do this, and God would want me to do this, and God would want me to spend time on this and that. Is that what God really wants you to spend time with? Yeah, I really do. I really think that's balanced. Because, you know, you can get unbalanced. You can spend an inordinate amount of time on something that's really out of balance. And remember this, the devil doesn't care what side of the boat you go off, just so long as you go off. You can go off on the overkill side or under side. Doesn't matter. The devil just wants you off. So, you know what I'm talking about. Be wise. So you write those things down. You say, this is what I believe God is wanting me to spend time with. And then here it is. Watch this. Make that your prayer list for the next month and say, Lord, would you give me, change my heart and make me desire these things? Because this is what you desire. In other words, you know what you're saying? Change my heart so I desire the things you desire. And it's not a split heart with you, but it becomes a whole heart. A complete heart. A holy heart. That's what it means. You see, a holy heart doesn't mean you walk around with a thing, you know, your shirt, you know, your hand tucked in your shirt, and you look glazed like you're on drugs or something, walking around real, with this big cross hanging on you. No. Holy means get your heart the same as God's. The things God desires, I desire too. Very practical. But that takes some time. So you write down what God wants you to spend time with, and then make it your prayer list. Lord, change my desire so I want to do those things. Change this heart right here. And then God begins to make your desires His, and that's called a perfect heart, or a whole heart, or a complete heart. Not a split heart, but a complete heart. And when David would pray that, then that's why God said, there's a man after my own heart. And that's why God blessed David and his kingdom so much. And that's what's happening with you and me. Remember, blessings follow what? Consecration. Yeah. Give Him your heart. And that's your time. That's your mind. That's your money. And when those things start to line up, oh, watch what God's about to do. Now, sometimes we don't find these things out till later. But let me tell you how Solomon discovered this. Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the planet. And the richest. He'd have more money than all of us put together 100 times. He had billions and billions of dollars. And you know what he used his life for? Check it out in Ecclesiastes. He experimented with life.
He said, you know, I got so much money and so much power and so much everything. I'm just going to experiment with this. I'm going to just, you know, I like horses. So I'm just going to buy like thousands of horses. Let's just buy them. And he built all these royal stables. And then he says, I just want to build buildings, just huge, magnificent buildings. So he built a bunch of buildings. That doesn't really satisfy me. Let's try wives. And he got like 700 of those. Poor guy. 700 wives. And let's try that. That didn't work. And so he said, let's try. And you know, once he went on a drunk, like weeks at a time, just to see if liquor would just stay inebriated, if that would do the thing. And he came out and he said, vanity of vanities. That's all futility. It's all vanity. And at the end of his life, he tried money, accumulating money, had tons of money. He tried everything, pleasures, everything. And at the end of his life now, not the beginning, but he spent his whole life, at the end of his life, he debriefs his life. And he gives us what his conclusion is. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, right at the end of your notes, we're going to read the scripture and we're going to fill in the blank after. So let's read what his conclusion is. Ready? Go. The conclusion is this: fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. What was his conclusion? Fear God and what? Keep his commandments. You know what God's asking of us in consecration? He says, just keep that. Do exactly that. But here's, watch this. Solomon went through his whole life, and at the end of his life, he said, here it is. This is the best. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the best thing. Now, you know what? It took him a whole lifetime to come to that. You know what he's saying? Don't try all those things. I already tried it. Don't waste your life doing all of those things. I already tried it. It's vanity. After a whole lifetime, Solomon, what is it? What's your conclusion? The conclusion is this: just serve God, obey him. Whatever he says, just obey the Lord. And that applies to every person. That's the best. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Now watch. You take what Solomon just said to you. You take that principle, but instead of spending a whole life and then coming up with that, watch. Just take it off of there and bring it to the beginning of life. So instead of ending up with that conclusion, what if you took that principle and put it at the beginning of your life and lived that way? You know what Solomon just did for me? He gave me a whole lifetime back. Because how many of us do the very same thing and we end up with the same conclusion? You know what Solomon is saying? Don't end, and you can fill it in. You don't end with this, but begin or start with this. Start with this. So if you can take that principle, and if you're a young man or a young woman, start with this. Fear God and obey his commandments. And when you're consecrating your mind to him and your time to him and your resources, you've consecrated, get ready, put on your seatbelt, because the Lord says, consecrate yourself, because tomorrow I will do wonders. That's what he's waiting for. Let's be a blessed people. Amen? Let's be a blessed people. Yeah. Let's stand together as we conclude with a prayer that consecrates our hearts and our minds to him. But first, let's thank God for what he's taught us. Would you seal that with a clap offering? Lord, thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you, oh Lord, for your grace on our lives. Yes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, take my mind. Transform it. Take my will, take my will. Conform it to yours, oh Lord. Take my God bless you. Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Way God Blesses by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord. God bless you and aloha.